Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the Venice Film Festival, from the Giornate degli Autori, with one of the filming competition, 200 meters. I have here with me Amin Naifel, the director, and Ali Suleiman, the actor. Good morning.
Good morning. Buongiorno.
Good morning, both of you. The film is interesting because it tells us a story which is kind of weird, actually, for us at least, of this family where the father lives on one side of the wall and the mother with the kids live on the other side of the wall, and they talk through signs to light sign from the balconies. It's only 200 meters, actually. Those are the 200 meters to be walked, but there is a border, and there is a control in the middle, and something happened, and the father cannot go there again because something happened. And then I wanted to ask you both this, how much of reality did you put in and how much of fiction did you put in the story in order to make it a movie?
So the film, like the not just the main story, which is the story of the main character, but also all the other like small stories of the like his secondary supporting characters are like 100% real life. So, but like this story of the man separated from his wife, like this one, like, you know, I created this family, but I know a lot of stories, a lot of people who live like this. I had a friend who was my age, so he, like, his whole family was living on the other side, and he was living with his grandmother. So it's not like there's no one single story, like, of a father separated from his wife, but a kid separated from his parents, families, like brothers separated, like one brother on this side, one brother on this side. It's just like a crazy.
It is crazy. It sounds crazy for us because it's like for them is that like is reality, is normality, which for us it's too weird. I mean, everybody would do what he can to be joined again with his family, while these characters they keep it like this.
This is the simple life that every family, as a father, you know, if I have, if I don't see my kids every day normally, this is really crazy. So the situation that Amin created that gives a lot of drive for the character and both the family to do anything to survive or to seek the other. So for me, this is the situation that can be really absurdic to the audience. While we were shooting, I heard, as Amin mentioned, I heard so many stories from real people that tells me, this is my story. When he tried to jump the wall because he couldn't really pass by locally or legally. So he tried to go there because it's a necessary, like, now I cannot go there because I need to see my kid.
I mean, you have an accident and I can't go.
So
and it's a Friday, so it's you a cannot Friday, do anything exactly. Until Monday, and those 2 days are like a lifetime.
People can die and then they cannot do anything. So this absurdic situation, I heard so many people that tell me, this is my story. I used to do that, like to sneak by the trunk to go.
So the film is even stronger now that we know that, because it's not just something that you made up. It's a day-to-day situation that very often can be transformed into a kind of a tragedy or a risking tragedy, like the story that you tell in the film. Because at some point, the man, Mustafa, which is played by Ali, has to go on the other side because his kid is hurt and he can't go. So now, from that moment on, the film transforms into kind of an action film. Action in terms of thriller, there is a lot of tension, there is a lot of ways of trying to pass this damn wall where they cannot. And everything is getting out of hands of everybody, of him and of all the others that are traveling with him. How did you... How did you create this second part of the film in terms? Did you heard stories that you just retold us, or did you made up something more?
So I started writing this film 7 years ago, and it has like the script developed quite like the last draft was totally different than the first one. But what the thing that was like there the whole time is the 200 meters distance. And the way this second, like the journey was created, I was really like, I really wanted to tell the geography of the journey. It was important for me to share this with the international audience, just to explain how complicated and how fragmented the situation on the ground is. And and the stories is like through, like this is all like research, all like stories that I like are real. So nothing in the journey is fiction. It's how it is done. So this is like the real.
And there is another thing that really touched me and intrigued me. At some point, Ali, your character tries to go take a minibus, a minivan with other people in order to pass the border on the other way. On this minivan, there is a German girl who is filming everything because she wants to do a documentary. And she is the epitome, the image of how much Western people do not understand of that situation, because she thinks everything is much easier than what it is, that she can do whatever she can because she's from Germany, so
and she's free to do
she's
whatever.
Free to do
this
whatever
is normal actually this no. is a basic thing you have to have the right to do whatever you want.
But you know, once you are in that situation, you should adapt. She cannot get it until she risks it a lot now, and then she gets it. But that was a real clever move, on my opinion, to put a character like this for us, for the Western audience, in order to be showed how stupid can we be sometimes, you know, in order to not being able to catch exactly the situation of that specific area.
It's not stupidity, I call it, it's ignorance of the situation, of really... it's not something for granted. You cannot really get it as it is, because the reality is more complicated, and it's easier for you to look at a different way because the way you live. And normally, as a people, as a human, we think that the other think like us. No matter how I think, so immediately I think that you are thinking the way I think. And when you come to a situation, to a place, and surrounded by occupation and the whole circumstances, you want to do like you don't calculate the danger of the situation. So you're outsider, but you claim as you have the freedom and nobody can stop you, but it's really. Could be dangerous for the
others. Because she is, it's clear that she thinks that all the situation is very absurd, so cannot be that absurd, but actually it can be,
of course,
and the absurdity can turn into danger
one of the reasons that these family are separated from each other. That's why Mustafa's wife, one of the reasons that they are decided like to go the other side to live, to give their kids better life, because in the daily life inside the West Bank, it could be really normal, everything is good, and by night you don't understand why the soldiers really break your house and go in and they wake your kids with fear. So this was like the reason that Mustafa's wife, one of the reasons that she decided, I want to give better future for our kids. So that's why they are separated from each other. And also, the other reason, like there is no opportunity for work, even though Mustafa is well-educated and he cannot find a normal job for him in the West Bank. And he have to go through the process of crossing the border every day just to work in construction and very hard work. The whole process, like it should be like very normal, basic thing for any person in, in the world.
But it's not.
It's not. But the reality is more.
The reality is, and then there is this always this wall of bureaucracy, which is even harder and harsher than like military, because there's this scene which is annoying, really annoying. Not, I mean, not because it's badly shot, but because it is annoying, the fact that when Mustafa realizes that he cannot cross because something happened with the visa, this girl on the other side of the window, she couldn't care less. So she said, no, you don't have it, go away. You don't have it, go away. She doesn't
She's like
to.
A machine. She doesn't She's have like any machine, feeling. Exactly. Some are having and help, and they are sometimes like depends of the atmosphere or the mood of the the guy who is.
So I think I tried to highlight the difference, because the first time when he's crossing, his fingerprint also is not working, but the guy lets him pass. He says, okay, take your number. But then the other one was like, no, there is a problem with your paper, I cannot let you. This is also like how it is, like the Israeli like security officers. Some people are like, okay.
Nice. But
other people are like, really like, they make your life miserable.
Yeah, but the absurdic way is like the whole situation of getting to pass and to success. Or not to success. Like I've been like listening to many stories, and I saw many people. It's like winning something. Like you won when you pass this checkpoint, which is like which is very very absurdic. Mm.
And, it's like you have been lucky.
Like being lucky, like what for? To go to work?
To have like, been lucky to be,
I've seen like real people, like when they cross the border and they are like, wow, I cross it, and like he won the lottery right now.
And
like look at us, like every day we go to work, like, oh, it's another day, another work.
Now this is actually what makes the film very interesting, because the film starts like a family, like, let's say not comedy, but like lighter, and then the goes on, it gets darker and darker, and you understand that this, how, as you say, it's really absurd, this thing.
This normal life.
This normal life is not, no, it's not normal. No, exactly. Yeah. And then now that you told me, I understand how the film ends in the way it ends, that I cannot say, because it's, that is the only way the life for those people can be. This is it.
Unfortunately, living under occupation, this is the life.
This is the life.
You are fighting for your existence, for your basic rights, just to be with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't want
more?
To jinx that. You don't want to risk that this is stopped. So you have to follow those rules, even if they're absurd.
It's not a choice.
No, this is the way it is. That's it.
But when you have no choice, you
find a way.
Like Mustafa did.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which is it's even more tragic to think that a father has to do this just to see his son. It's unbelievable.
If I can share a small story.
Absolutely, you must.
So my uncle, like 2 years ago, my half of my family live on the Israeli side.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle was in the hospital in Tel Aviv. And I have a background in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
I studied nursing. So I wanted to go to stay with him at the hospital. So I applied a couple times for a permit to go to the hospital, and it was rejected. The third time, I was given 8 hours.
8 hours of nursing. Eight hours
of visit permit, like the permission.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to go and go back within 8 hours.
Yeah. So when I arrived in the hospital, I said, I don't care, I will stay. So I stayed overnight with him, and then I went to the family, to the house of my grandparents, and then I came back again to stay with him at the hospital. And then the security of the hospital, they controlled me and they checked my, like, okay, why are you still here? Said, I'm in the hospital with my uncle, you know. And then they called the police. Come on, like, I'm in a hospital, and this is my permit, and it says I got it to be in the hospital. I'm not in Tel Aviv on the beach. I'm in the hospital. Come on, you know.
You cannot go anywhere else. Like, imagine, like, you get permit, like, to go inside hospital. And you cannot go out of the hospital for smoking.
You have to stay in. It's really...
Well, but this is apartheid, you know.
This is really too tight. And then it's obvious that then people try to find escapes, a different way to solve this, because, you know, there is no other... I mean, you force... This system, I think, that forces people to break the law.
Yeah, exactly.
At some point.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, and also the situation is, like, if you remember the scene when he first wanted to go with the bus, and they start to questioning him, and why your wife is in the A48, she had a blue ID, and you don't, are you crazy? Why you don't, like, if you have... your life will be better. Mm. You know, how many people can really wanted inside the West Bank, like, to have a better life? Just like, okay, the ID, the blue ID, give it to me. I will have, like, better life. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Just give me to be... Like, it's not a politic point of view. It's a politic of basic
of
human quality of life.
Basic
things. That people really want to live normal as everyone else in the world, and we don't have this chance.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's weird and weird. Well, yeah. I have no other words to say.
This is our goal, you know, to put this on the table and to show all the world.
Well, I think that the film does exactly that, because it's a good film. It's entertaining, but it also put us in a situation of knowing something that we didn't know and getting the absurdity of it. So, good job.
Thank you.
So, I thank Amin Aifer, director, and Ali Suleiman, actors of 200 Meters, in competition at Giornata degli Autori in the Venice Festival. I'm Angela Cerbi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.